Welcome back to Backdoor Cover. We're going to talk all of the sports today. I'm Ross Bolin here with Dan Regester.
Hey, Ross.
And Dylan Shivery.
Billy boy.
What is up?
Everything, man. What's up with you?
Man, you know.
Oh, you had kind of a shitty day?
Not really. I just had a panic attack in the car.
It's been a minute, huh?
Which I haven't had in a long time. Fortunately, I'm medicated.
I can tell.
I'm like super chill on this show, that's why. Because of the meds.
All right. Well, we're glad that you're here and able to do this with us.
Pretty much what happens is like, or it hasn't happened any time recently, but I get like horrific anxiety driving. And the only thing you can do when you have like a panic attack in the car is to try to get to where you're going faster. And it's super dangerous. Like I'm essentially just speeding and swerving around people and breaking all the traffic laws until I get to my destination.
You have to pull over sometimes. You have in the past,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but the pulling over thing, like, that's a last resort. Because if you have to pull over, then you have to ride it out, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's like if it rains, you got to, like, sprint to your car.
Yeah,
you
it's,
walk
it's
your
exactly
car.
The same thing. Yeah. Yes.
Huh.
It's much better to just get there.
Were you close to
your destination? I was on 360, so okay. It was like, I knew I had a straight shot. You know, I was going to be here. Anyway, I'm here.
We're glad you're here.
If you consider NASCAR to be a sport, it was sort of like NASCAR. I was driving. I was sporting. Anyway.
Speaking of NASCAR, did I tell you that they invited us to the Indy 500?
Yeah, but what's the deal with
500,
this?
I thought.
Indianapolis 500.
No. Daytona?
Oh, great. So let's just name all the major races.
Because Indianapolis isn't NASCAR at all.
Yeah, that's...
Right. Let me look it up. I want to get this right.
Have you ever been to one of these?
I've been to a NASCAR race. Not that one.
Did you do it in the pit, or were you like a...
No, I was just with the...
Bleacher boy?
I was with the poor folks.
That sucks.
It was Daytona. I think I remember.
Have you ever done one of these, Dan?
No.
The going to a NASCAR race and,
Daytona,
and doing
right.
it in the pit like tailgate style is supposed to be one of the funnest things you can do.
Can I?
And that
can I go?
We are invited. We are invited to go and do like garage tour and like access to all the drivers, all the
what?
Shit. Yeah,
like full on press passes. We never get press passes.
They want to bring us out.
Everything we've ever applied for a press passes for, we don't even get a response. Not even a rejection.
They want to fly us out and give us full media access.
Holy shit.
So I got to follow up with this guy. I don't know who's going to go. It's a weird... It's like
Do
next
you mean
month.
Us like this show?
Two people from Grand X.
Oh, okay.
They actually named you and I.
Nice.
It's in a month or less.
Well, let's go watch some fucking drivers.
I think... Something tells me we have something going on.
Well...
We'll figure it out.
We might have to cancel
Micah.
That.
I'd like to go.
Okay.
Yeah, send
just
Micah.
Want to put that out. I've never been to a NASCAR race, but I spent several years playing fantasy NASCAR and watching a lot of NASCAR.
If you go,
so I think I know what's going
you're
on.
You're gonna need to
can
clarify.
You handle like the media coverage part of it?
Sure.
Okay. Will you
do live reports?
Explain to me what fantasy NASCAR entails. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know if it exists anymore, but basically you had you picked like two A drivers, four B drivers, and two C drivers.
For the course of a season?
No, for each race. And you can only pick, like, each driver a certain number of times.
Okay, so it's... Okay.
And, like, so the A drivers had, like, 12 drivers in it. And then the B drivers, like, 20. And then the C drivers were, like, 20.
Like some of those golf things are spread out with tiers like that?
Yeah. It was fine. Here, my biggest complaint with NASCAR, the season is too long. It just ended, like, a week ago. And now it's starting in a month. It's impossible to watch 46 races or however many.
My biggest complaint would be that it's fucking awful to watch on television.
And the races are too long. I enjoy NASCAR when football's not going on and I can sit and take a nap. That's a good napping sport.
That's not how you want your well,
but I haven't watched an actual NASCAR race in several years now.
Napping sports are very much a thing. Baseball, regular season games, great
golf.
Time to nap. Golf, every
golf is great.
Primo.
Unless it's even Sunday.
Daytona, on occasion, some years, it is the same day as the NBA All-Star Game, which I always just like. It's a nice dynamic. Like, I'll watch the white people watch cars racing, and then I watch, like, the black people and the awesome basketball stuff, and normally, like, hip-hop and then, like, country music. It's very different.
I can't wait to get destroyed for calling it the Indianapolis 500 NASCAR.
Nobody's going to just... Come on, NASCAR
people. Yeah, somebody will.
Really?
Do we have people in the Tennessee area?
Oh, yeah.
Call in. From
all
Georgia
the
area.
And they're still butthurt about the Titan comments.
Yeah, I know that. There's this one dude still tweeting at me about how Titans fans... I put out another podcast, and I tweeted a link to it, and he was like, Titans fans still hate you. It's like, okay, it's not really a response to what I'm saying, but thank you. And I honestly don't give a fuck. Like, again, part of being a sports fan is getting real about what your team is or is not. And at no point during this season were the Titans a threat to beat anyone in the playoffs. That was just not a realistic expectation.
Now, I don't have the authority to do this, but maybe if you leave a review, 5-star review for Backdoor Cover, we will pick one lucky fan to go to the Daytona 500 with Micah.
Maybe we will.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the authority to do it either, but maybe we will. Fuck, I don't know. I mean, also maybe not.
So do it on the off chance that we maybe
do. Yeah,
do
it on the off chance that perhaps we do. We would love it if you would leave us a review and a 5-star rating. That would be fantastic. Do it on iTunes.
A weekend with Micah in Daytona, Florida, chucking back natties in the infield.
Think about it.
Magical.
I just emailed that guy back, by the way. We got to get on the phone with him.
Harness that magic that you feel in your heart right now and put it into your review. Check out manoutfitters.com. It's a huge part of what we do here at Grand X. Makes podcasts like Backdoor Cover possible. And big news from now, technically it's 2:20 p.m. Central Time on Thursday, until Friday, tomorrow, January 19th at noon, Man Outfitters is running a sale. You get an extra 20% off the sale collection at manoutfitters.com using the code EXTRA20. So there are items in the collection marked down as low as 50% off.
A lot are up like 50% off.
50, that's
half.
And
it's good shit.
Then you could take an extra 20% off using the code EXTRA20. We're clearing out the stuff from last season and getting ready for spring.
But this is still cold weather stuff that's available for sale, and it is still cold outside,
by
the way.
It's fucking 10 degrees out there, and we're in Texas, so I know it's cold other places. Extra 20 is the code. Remember, this ends Friday at noon, so if you're listening after that, you're too late, and that's why you need to listen to the show right when it drops. Hit up manoutfitters.com. Is the promo code, our promo code, Micah, still something we use here, or is that Underboy? Oh, shit.
I don't think you can stack codes.
I'm told that we can stack through Friday.
You can stack extra 20 and Underboy.
Yes.
Okay, let me get this straight.
It's like free clothes.
Let me get this straight. So it's marked down to 50%. You can get 20% off on top of that, and then 15% off on top of that?
Well, I think it's 20%.
That doesn't even make sense.
Look, we've never been math guys. Let's be real here. We don't know.
So just come rob us blind, everybody.
Just come take your free clothes.
Yeah.
All you have to do is type in a couple codes and you leave with free clothes. That's pretty much the deal.
It's free.
If you want, you could just stop by the office and grab a bunch of shit and walk out.
It's all free 99.
Take my computer. Manoutfitters.com. Check it out. Use those codes. Underboy is our code if you're shopping after the sale has already ended. It will get you 15% off any order of $150 or more and includes free shipping. Check out Man Outfitters. Support us here at Grand X. Support Backdoor Cover. Let us continue to do fun things for you. All right, let's talk NFL. All these lines are current as of right now, Thursday again, 2:20 p.m. And they're provided by mybookie.ag, which is, as you know, is where you should go to place your bets for all these games. First game, Sunday, 2:05 Central Time, Jags at Patriots. This line is now at Pats -8.
Ooh.
On my bookie, there was people who believed.
Wait, it went up then, right?
No, I grabbed it at 10.
It was at 9.5. A lot of people bought a half point.
No, it got to 10, I believe, on Monday.
Straight up was at 10?
Yeah, I grabbed it at 10.
So it's gone, as expected. We thought it would go down because the Jags defense. And
Blake
Brady's
Bortles.
40 years old.
Yeah.
And sure, because of Blake Bortles. Nobody, no. I don't think Bortles was factored in for most people. You're just a Bortles super fan, which is fine. I respect it. I've been converted to a Bortles guy.
Okay, even though the line dropped, I'm still taking Jacksonville.
Really?
+8, yeah. I don't think they win the game. I'm not crazy, but they're not going to lose by more than 8.
The thing that I worry about is Jacksonville's offense maintaining the level of productivity they've had thus far.
Well, they're not going to hang 45 in New England.
No. I know that for a fact. But I worry about them being able to, like, look, their defense is as good as you can ask for. And I think they'll be able to mess with the Pats a little bit, but Belichick, as we know, finds ways to work around your strengths and take them out of the game. So I just worry about them being able to keep up points-wise.
I don't know. New England's defense isn't great.
But they've shown flashes where they were really good this season.
Patricia on his way out, going to Detroit. Josh McDaniels on his way out, going to the Colts. So, I mean...
Oh, I didn't realize McDaniels was going to.
Yeah, they're both got head coaching jobs. So maybe they're not as focused as they normally would be.
Oh, they're focused.
Dude, I don't think that applies in the pros like this. That shit doesn't affect these guys.
Also, did you see Patricia, the photo of him without the beard?
I did see the photo of Patricia without a beard.
For the love of God, he better not shave that beard.
Yeah, but that also looked like that was 20 years ago. He's changed a lot.
He's
a child in that picture.
I don't think he will shave the beard.
It's not a great look.
I think it's kind of a James Harden situation where it's part of your identity at that point.
It's like never again.
It would be weird if you went facial hairless. I don't know, though. About Pat's minus eight, I just...
That defense is... I think Jacksonville's defense shows up, though. Like, they didn't... They gave up 42 to Pittsburgh. And, I mean, they scored a bit, but I think they fucking locked down.
Like, 21 of the points they gave up to Pittsburgh were, like, Hail Mary psycho plays with Antonio Brown. There is no Antonio Brown on the Pats.
And, I mean, you have Gronk, but I think Miles Jack is a good answer to that. Maybe even Jalen Ramsey if you get him in on there.
I forgot Gronk was healthy. I'm going to ride...
I mean, nobody in the league can cover Gronk, but I think a combination of those two will slow him down.
Okay, well, Dan, considering where the line's at now, what are you going to take? Dylan just said Jags plus eight.
I would definitely take the points, and I would sprinkle the money line.
Sprinkle it. It's plus 290 right now, which doesn't feel quite... It feels like it should be at least plus 300, but whatever. I'm going to go with you. I'll do Jags. I just can't root for the Pats. And the NFL playoffs, honestly, I like to bet more with what I want to root for than what I think is actually going to happen. And a lot
at
of
this
the time,
point,
that
yeah.
ends up being more helpful, to be honest. But, yeah. Pat's money line is minus 365 for those interested. The next game is that evening, a little bit later in the afternoon, 5:40 Central Time, Vikings at Eagles. Dan?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Philly, do you think you have a realistic chance here? The line on mybookie.ag is Vikings minus 3. The over-under is only 39.
Nikki, run pass option. Yeesh. I'm taking the Eagles money line. Eagles are going to the Super
Plus
Bowl.
Plus 135.
Yeah, I don't think the Vikings, they had a huge emotional win last second. I think they don't get over that. I think it's hard to win that game and then come back, go to Philadelphia.
I just have a hard time seeing Nick Foles in a Super Bowl.
Oh, you have a Case Keenum in one?
After last weekend, yeah.
I'm taking Minnesota minus 3. I love the story, and I think that the way the game ended last week is not going to be like an emotional letdown this game. I think
you ride that.
You ride the momentum, and they have so much confidence now.
I was with the whole group questioning, like, last week we talked about, or earlier this week we talked about it, like, did they burn out all their emotional fuel too early or whatever? But when you've got guys like Stephon Diggs, you honestly think Diggs is going to roll into this game and be emotionally spent? No, he's going to be hyped as fuck. And when you've got guys like that that can keep the rest of your squad on the right page, it pays off. And that's the kind of magical shit you have to have happen to win a Super Bowl.
And they beat a really, really good Saints team, too. Like,
yeah.
That team was fucking good.
This is true. But the Eagles, top 5 in the league in offensive rushing, top 5 in the league defensive stopping the run, and then Minnesota's a really bad running team. They're in, like, 23, 24 or something. Like, very end of the pack. It's going to be all on Case Keenum's shoulders to, like, bring the Vikings to a home Super Bowl.
They do a lot of
those
little...
Nick Foles.
They do a lot of those little screen passes with what's his name? McKinnon.
Latavius Murray.
Murray.
Former UCF great.
Yeah, I mean, they're not running up the middle on you much, but they find ways to get the run involved in what is technically pass plays. So
what do you think of this over-under at 39? It's not a whole lot of points.
The game is in Philly.
It's in Philly, and it's going to be a very nice day out.
So it's going to be warmer.
both the games have very little chance of precipitation. They're going to be around 40 degrees.
I mean, all right, so the Eagles defense, knowing what you know about your team, as familiar with them as you are, I feel like the Vikings will still put up 20 plus points.
I don't see it.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so you think this thing goes under?
Our front seven's incredible, and I think our secondary is starting to like hit their stride too. So, no, I mean, I can see a case where this game is actually an offensive, like a surprisingly offensive.
Dan, you were so hot and cold on this team. It's unbelievable.
No, I can see.
You were cold on this team before Wentz went down.
I know, but
and now you're hot on them all of a sudden.
Well, they to be fair, they didn't really play anybody in the regular season until they hit that Rams game,
right?
And
which you called last week. You had very little confidence that they
in
were
in Nick Foles, and he proved me otherwise. He went. He just has to play decent and not turn the ball over, and I think the Eagles can win. So I'm gonna take the money line. I'm gonna take
the Eagles
plus can
absolutely 135. Win.
Oh man,
I'm
setting
myself
up
for
these 3-point road favorites. I fucking hate them.
Just take the home dog.
But I want to be a part of the Vikings magic. So I'm gonna say Vikings minus 3. Dylan, what'd you say?
I already said Minnesota.
Okay. And Dan, you're just outright skipping the plus 3, not even including the points, just going.
Might as well try to just take the Eagles. It's gonna be a bigger letdown when we lose in the Super Bowl to the Patriots. So.
Okay. I will say this. We have potential for like the least popular Super Bowl ever here.
Jags Eagles?
If we end up with Jags Eagles. Bortles versus Foles would be not that great looking on the front of a newspaper.
I'm going to be totally honest. How weird would it be if, like, I wouldn't even feel right if the Eagles won the Super Bowl this year? Because Carson Wentz got us this far and we, like, our entire team and our franchise.
I hate
you
that's such a
feel right.
That's such a shitty situation. That when you're like franchise quarterback, you know, isn't part of the team that made the playoff run. It's weird.
Yeah.
But like, you still take the Super Bowl.
I mean, if Wentz is on the team, I'm 100% in on the Eagles winning the Super Bowl like the next 5 years.
Okay.
But him still, Nick Foles winning this, like, of course, I feel like it would cause like all this like unnecessary drama for the in the off season.
I don't think so.
Oh, no
dude,
way.
No,
there's no way.
Nobody's thinking. No,
that's crazy talk.
I know. There are
answer long term.
There's some stupid Eagles fans.
You forgot how well that guy played
there's
this year.
There's stupid fans for every team, but your front office isn't stupid enough to consider that.
They would get rid of Foles in a heartbeat if it came down to it.
I would hope.
It's Wentz 100%.
Dude, I don't think Foles, even if they won a Super Bowl, even if they pull this off, and let's say it is Jags-Eagles and they beat the Jags, which I don't think is very likely.
All right, Eagles, Patriots. We beat the Patriots somehow.
I
Foles
don't
wins
think,
the Super Bowl.
I don't think Foles is delusional enough to think that he would be in the running for starter next year.
No, but how weird would it be, though, if he won the Super Bowl this year, but that was the only Super Bowl the Eagles won with Wentz? So, like, it was kind of tainted. Like, he got his one ring, kind of, but Foles won it.
You're on the team and you get that good of a regular season. The ring is legit. There's no.
He got him home field. He got him all the way there.
Yeah, there's no shame in that at all.
It just seems weird. It just doesn't seem like these teams this year are that great in the NFL.
It's because they're not. The whole year was a little weird. But I do think. I still can't put my thumb on what I think about the Eagles, but the Vikings are legit. Even with Case Keenum as their quarterback, they are a legit team. I think the Jags' defense is legit, and the Pats are the Pats. So we've ended up with at least a good enough crop of teams to where it doesn't feel as shitty as I think it could have. Earlier in the year, it was a mess. The whole NFL was a mess. So I don't know. I'm happy with where we're at.
That said, if we win the Super Bowl, I'm going to go incredibly nuts. Like,
yeah, I would hope so.
I'll probably fly.
Still
going
to Frank the Tank to the streets of Austin.
Yeah. You got to take your clothes off. Cha.
Will you go back, Dan, for the parade?
I might. I feel like I might. I might even go to the Super Bowl in Minnesota.
God.
I don't know.
It's a pretty cheap ticket to get. So
yeah, it's like $4,000 right now.
What is this NFL news? There isn't any. All right. Well, again, you know where to go place bets on these upcoming NFL playoff games. Go to mybookie.ag. You can enter the promo code backdoor and get up to a 50% deposit bonus on your initial deposit. They've got in-game live betting. They got an all-new prop builder.
Yeah, mybookie has all the fucking props.
All of them.
I mean, there's no better way to bet on the Super Bowl and these playoff games than hitting all the prop bets.
They've got it's really easy interface where you can like add things and parlay them and do all sorts of shit. So
yeah, obviously fantasy football season is over. So hit the number one rated online sportsbook, mybookie.ag. Use the code BACKDOOR when you make your deposit. And use that sports knowledge to win some cash. I recommend fading me again, just to be clear. Fade, fade, fade. Mybookie.ag, check it out. You play, you win, you get paid. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back to talk about NBA fights. A lot of violence this week in the NBA, which I'm
very NHL-esque in really the NBA enjoying right now. It.
And then actual MMA fights.
And then actual real-life actual fights in UFC 220 on Saturday. And some boxing, hell, and some NHL. We're just going to talk about fighting for the rest of the show after the break. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's Touching Base?
Well, it's a podcast, Dave.
Podcast, okay.
It's a podcast we do. We're not real sure what it's about, but we have fun doing it.
We talk about anything. Nothing is off limits. The three of us, three kings, getting that gold, just talking about our lives, pulling back the curtain, being transparent, having a good time with some fun and easy banter.
If you're a fan of that kind of thing, I think you should mash that subscribe button.
And frankly, if you're not, then maybe that's on you.
And fuck you.
All right, we're back. Let's talk NBA first. Like we said before the break, for whatever reason, just a lot of tension, animosity, violence, fighting going on in the NBA. Now, if you're familiar with the NBA, you know that these, I'm doing air quotes, these fights that take place are typically not actual fights. There's a lot of
a
lot of hold me back, a lot of shit talking that never really, ever since the Malice at the Palace, NBA players avoid actual violence as much as possible for the sake of their careers and money. That being said, Aaron Aflalo did full out swing on Minnesota Timberwolves player Nemanja Bjelica. We don't know.
Nobody really knows.
Something European, I assume.
He missed, though.
He missed, but that was a haymaker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he didn't hold back. He just fucking swung on the guy. And it's been a long time since we've seen something like that.
Went for the kill shot.
Yeah. And again, as is typical of the NBA, he whiffed by about a foot and a half. He missed bad. It's not like he just barely missed. He fucking missed. And then Nemanja immediately got him into a headlock. And Nemanja couldn't gone full Nolan Ryan on this motherfucker if he wanted to, but he did not, fortunately, for Aaron Aflalo. Obviously, Aflalo was ejected. I think he's been suspended and fined. But you can't throw punches in the NBA. Frowned upon.
Do you have a friend, or did you maybe have a friend growing up who was almost gets in fights guy?
But doesn't go all the
never
way?
Never actually gets in a fight, but he loved to almost get him just so he could come back like to the locker room and be like, man, I almost got in a fight this weekend. Or he intentionally like gets in these, you know, hold me back situations.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, oh, I'm a tough guy and I would have beat his ass but never actually came to it. But if it actually did come to it, he would just be terrified.
I never had a buddy that was that guy, but I'm very familiar with the concept of that guy.
I grew up with a guy like that. He almost got in about 1,000 fights growing up. Never actually got in one, though.
That's a lame dude to be.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Like, everybody sees through this facade, bro.
Yeah.
I also had a friend that would talk shit and then step aside and be like, all right, Dan, you got this.
Let his bigger friend step up.
Now, that I respect. That's funny. Starting fights and then getting your larger crew to participate in them for you is funny.
Just like a tag team match. All right, you're in.
Dan, help me. In another extremely tense situation in the NBA, during the Rockets-Clippers game, and to put this into perspective for you, as you know, the Rockets acquired Chris Paul in a trade with the Clippers in which the Clippers received Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, and Lou Williams. And it's most of their team is ex-Rockets guys. And a lot of these Rockets, you know, how when you get traded to another team, as big of a part of a franchise as you may or may not have been, like Patrick Beverley was very much the heart and soul of the Rockets for several years. But that doesn't mean he has to have some like loyalty to the Rockets. Once he gets traded, it's fucking over, man. He's got to go all out on being a Clipper.
Of course.
So Beverly's injured. He's in a suit on the bench, as is Austin Rivers, Doc Rivers' son. And they're talking shit the entire fucking game. Like, it got chippy multiple times Then at one point, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul got into it, like just chirping at each other or whatever. Then at one point, Blake Griffin, like, you know how when you're falling out of bounds and you've got the ball and you try to throw it off the dude like closest to you's leg or whatever so you can maintain possession?
Right. Yeah.
He did that, but he did it in a, like, a lot of the times that can be hectic and you just kind of have to throw it.
He chunked it.
Spiked it at Eric Gordon's upper body, near his head. And
you typically go for the leg.
That is frowned upon in basketball circles. So that caused even more tension. On top of that, Blake Griffin, when running down the sideline, was bitching at D'Antoni, Mike D'Antoni, Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni, for he said he was on the court. His fucking big toe might have been touching the baseline, but it was nowhere near on the court. And Griffin gave him an elbow, made physical contact with the Rockets coach, which that was pretty much the final straw.
Well, didn't he say to go fuck yourself to Blake Griffin or something?
Oh, no, he was screaming fuck you at him. It was hilarious.
Serious?
Like, with the cameras on him, fuck you. Like, it was incredible. It was so much fun to watch. This
Holy
was like
shit.
This was the NBA game you live for. It started at like 9 fucking 30.
The West
There's
Coast
nothing
game.
Else to do.
It's fucking
and
midnight.
And Twitter was just going ape shit for like 8 hours because of everything that went on. It was so much fun. The Rockets end up losing the game. And the Clippers earned the win. I'm not taking anything away from the fact that they won. And they're actually a legitimate playoff contender in a year where they've used like 26 different lineups, half their team is hurt, and the only all-star they have is Blake Griffin, obviously, who's a soft little bitch. And
whoa.
What ended up happening, he is. He really is. I mean, I don't...
Seems like
I think
good
Blake
dude.
Is a really cool dude. I think he would be super fun to hang out with, and he's... But the hard-ass act that some of these guys, it's just don't do it, man. If you're not that guy, it's the same thing we're talking about with guy who, like, almost gets in fights but then always avoids the actual confrontation. You just look like a pussy. You're not going to fight anybody, man. You're Blake Griffin. You're in more commercials than any other NBA player.
I feel like you could say the exact same thing about Chris Paul.
You absolutely could. But Chris Paul was at no point at any point in this game like trying to fight anybody. Now, Trevor Ariza, on the other hand, was trying to fight people. He was pretty much trying to go at Austin Rivers, who's in a cast on the bench. Got pulled away from him. Ariza and Griffin got into it. Both of them got ejected. But then the real story unfolded immediately after the game, where apparently Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green, who's been a Rocket for like 2.5 weeks, stormed the Clippers locker room. And as this all unfolded on Twitter, it was like the most dramatic, insane story. They allegedly had sent Clint Capella around to the front door of the
as
Clippers locker room as a diversion.
What?
And there's this like,
and there's a secret tunnel
that Chris. I thought Chris Paul and James Harden were part of it too, because like Chris Paul knew the tunnel.
Chris Paul. Well, okay, so
in
that's
the LA.
This is the original story that was coming out that I'm going to describe to you first. Is that there's a secret tunnel between the locker rooms? Chris Paul knew about it because he was a Clipper for so long. That he led them through this secret tunnel. They sent Capella around the front, who's giant and Swiss or whatever he is. So he, you know, he allegedly he knocked on the door. They opened it, saw it was him, and slammed it in his face. But the other guys went around the back and were trying to get at Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin and actually fight. Now, then there was other news that came out that Chris Paul and James Harden got into a physical altercation. Twitter went, it was nuts. It was total chaos. But after the investigation, it turns out what happened is it's Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green tried to get into the locker room to fight. Harden and Chris Paul were there trying to restrain their teammates and de-escalate the situation. And Tariq Black, another Rocket who doesn't play very much, is the guy who was at the front. I guess because he's tall and black, they confused him with Clint Capella. I'm not really sure how that happened, but Capella had nothing to do with any of this. I wish it had been Capella because he doesn't speak English as well, and that's just funnier to me. But it was Tariq Black who tried to go through the front door, and they were like, no, dude, you cannot come in. All this ends up with Ariza and Gerald Green getting suspended 2 games each. Blake Griffin got nothing, even for making contact with Mike D'Antoni. The whole thing was completely overblown.
But there was never actually any physical altercation in the locker room after the game.
No.
They were just at the door trying to get in.
Yes. Which, again, goes back to the NBA thing of, like, these guys never actually end up fighting. And apparently Austin Rivers and Trevor Ariza have since had like a 3-hour phone conversation or some shit where they worked out their differences, and Austin Rivers owned up to like not be having, like, he shouldn't have been talking shit injured in a suit or whatever. The whole here's a quote from Popovich on fights in the NBA. As I think this was yesterday that he made this remark. Popovich says, "Oh, you mean those typical NBA fights where they go, 'Let me at him. I would have kicked his ass. Somebody hold me back.' The NBA fights are the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life." I think he also called them namby pamby, which I don't know what that means. That's just so old. Nobody says that anymore except Pop.
But look, getting in a fight as a basketball player is very different from getting in a fight as a hockey player or a football player.
Well, you don't have any pads.
Or even
on.
Baseball, for that matter.
You're exposed.
Because you're completely exposed. You have nothing but your fist in the
guy's
face.
You better be able to swing.
You have to be able to, yeah. You have to know what you're doing. You got to be able to throw hands.
And there are dudes in this league who will fuck you up.
Yeah, and they're all extremely athletic and, you know, 6'10".
Enormous. Like David West is an example. Pretty good player.
Don't fuck with him.
Apparently an incredible fighter who will knock you the fuck out.
He will ruin your life.
And here's the thing. The guys that are like stars in the league would throw a punch, land a punch, but then break their hand and be out for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah, you don't want that.
We don't need fights in basketball because it'll get ugly.
Now, so the Inside the NBA crew that's comprised of Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson, and Shaq, they had a field day with this as it was unfolding after the game, because this was the last game of the night. They always do their show immediately afterward. And, I mean, they were losing their fucking minds. At one point, it was broken on Twitter that the LAPD was called, and Shaq was about to fall out of his chair laughing. Like, they couldn't have thought this was funnier. And it was one of the best segments of Inside the NBA I've ever seen, and if nothing else, we got that out of it. But you know how those old heads are. First of all, these guys, they have no idea what they're talking about anymore for the most part. Like, every time I watch Inside the NBA, their takes are incorrect and sometimes just wildly inaccurate. Now, I'm not even just talking about the Rockets. In general, they seem to not know much about what the fuck they're talking about. That being said, it's still the best sports show that I'm aware of. It's hilarious, and those dudes are fantastic, and I love watching it. But this was like, it was just, they were mocking them as if like, oh, the back in the day guys were so much harder, and like, we used to throw down. These kids are all pussies, basically. It was what they were implying.
Which it really isn't that true. I mean, there were a few out, you know, out.
I'm with you on this.
Outliers like, you know, Lambeer types who will actually get in there and rough somebody up. But for the most part, all the fights back then went how they do now.
Yeah, but if you went through the paint, you would get fucking hammered.
Yeah, the fouls were more aggressive, and there was shit like, I mean, like, if you ever go watch Barkley and Shaq's fight from when Barkley threw the ball at Shaq. There's not a lot of fight going on there. It's mostly them rolling around on the ground. And I disagree with those guys in that, yes, there are dudes like James Harden who, when it was rumored that he was even a part of this, I was like, what? Because Harden's not going to fight anybody, man.
No,
he's as mild-mannered as you could possibly be.
He pays people to do his dirty work.
And he also allegedly does pay people to do to fuck people up for him, like Sam Malone or Moses Malone Jr. But there are other guys in the league, Trevor Ariza being one of them, that he would fight you. Like,
he's a wild card.
As stupid as it would be, Ariza would fuck you up on the court if he was given the chance. And I don't see him as being any less badass than anybody back in the day. There's plenty of dudes still in the league who I think would throw down if push came to shove. So I don't really agree with the whole, like, the league is so soft now thing. There's plenty of gangsters in the league still. Plenty of dudes that are not there for the bullshit.
We need to get back to like the coaches that would send in goons, like John Chaney at Temple.
Oh, you can't do that shit anymore, though. Not in the NBA, man. There's plenty of guys you could use that way, but oh my God, you'd get your dick fined off.
The last time it happened was the Heat, right? When they sent in, somebody threw a bow for the Heat when LeBron was on the Heat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't do that anymore, man.
The last situation.
The fines are heavy for like the purposeful tactical violent shit. All in all, this whole Rockets Clippers bullshit made for one of the more entertaining nights on sports Twitter that I've had in a while, and it was very, very fun. All-star starters for the East and the West will be announced tonight. Again, Thursday, January 18th. Should be interesting to see who gets snubbed. And Kevin Hart and Pharrell have been tapped for all-star festivities.
Is Kevin Hart playing in the celebrity game?
I I think he's retired from that, so this will have to be some kind of hosting situation, I assume. I've had just about enough of this fucking guy. I'm done with Kevin Hart. Please, no more. The shtick is so old. He's been the NBA All-Star Weekend guy for like 6 years. We can't find another talented, funny person who appeals to NBA fans.
But they like to put him next to really tall basketball players and take pictures because it's funny.
It is funny.
Because he's 5'1".
Because he's short.
Hey, did you know they're probably going to do a sight gag with Shaq and Kevin Hart?
Oh,
can
man.
Can you believe that? I've never done that before,
dude,
but
that's
I bet
so
they'll
creative.
Do it this year.
That's
Isn't
so creative.
Isn't he really bad at basketball, too?
He won the celebrity All-Star game thing like three
but
times.
But he like shoots it every time. Like, he refused to pass ever.
I mean, he's pretty good for a 5 foot whatever he is guy. But he's tiny.
What would your strategy be if you were invited to the NBA All-Star celebrity game? Like, what are you doing when you
I think my strategy would revolve around trying to look as cool as possible, like trying not to make an ass of myself, because a lot of these guys try to do too much and they end up looking really, really, really stupid and unathletic. So you got to try to, like, just look like you know what you're doing.
I think I would just try to get buckets. I go to the hole every
time.
See,
that's where people get fucked up, though, because
no,
you're just laying
hole.
Bricks all over
no
the place.
No shots.
I would just camp out at three. And
if
just,
you
and
go
throw
to the
off.
Hole, you're fucked, because one of the, like, 7-foot-tall WNBA ex-All-Stars in there is going to just stuff the shit out of
nah,
you.
Nah, I'm going to jump over.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You can't go to the hole.
I mentioned this All-Star Game stuff also because Fergie is singing the national anthem and Bare Naked Ladies are singing the Canadian national anthem. And we mentioned this because of our next story about the NHL and their All-Star selection.
Remember how bad the Black Eyed Peas were for the Super Bowl? That was
okay.
An all-time terrible
now,
all-time show.
If you want to compare those types of performances, like a Super Bowl halftime show and the NBA All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game performance every year is far and away the worst sports performance in the sports universe. It is absolutely terrible.
What about like the music performance they have on Thanksgiving for like in Detroit? They usually get a really terrible act.
I don't know. The most recent one I remember is CeeLo Green at NBA All-Star Weekend, and it was like so painful that I had to change a channel. Nobody in the crowd gives a fuck. It's not... There's not enough production value to pull it off. It's all just very, very, very bad. Everyone involved looks terrible.
Does the NHL even have like some type of entertainment value at their All-Star game?
I don't know.
That's
a good question.
They have like a special...
Yeah, we could skip down and talk about that next, actually.
NFL? NHL?
Yeah.
Okay. What about... Oh, shit. It says Kid Rock is to play NHL All-Star Weekend and people are pissed off.
That makes sense.
Why are people pissed off?
Kid Rock has come out and said many things about liberals and left-wing America is very angry at Kid Rock in general.
I thought that the...
I feel the hockey world is very...
The hockey world,
it's a more right.
The hockey world cares about that?
It's apparently a blue-collar
sport.
People do.
Huh.
Here's a sampling
Micah,
of tweets.
Micah, you're probably stilted, though, man. You pay attention to only left-wing outlets.
Well, I just, people, here's a sampling of tweets.
Yeah, but Mike
Why
is so far
Why don't any women,
left?
Minorities, or people under 40 watch our sport? Also NHL. Let's put Kid Rock to be the main entertainer for our biggest event of the year.
Yeah, okay.
Mike is so far left, though he's right.
Kid Rock as Thank your you. NHL All-Star. See, if they did that for NBA All-Star Weekend, I'd be all in. Get
what?
Kid Rock on there, do some fucking Ba with the Ba.
No, I'm out on that.
Yeah, I'm out on everything.
I'm out on all Kid Rock.
I'm out on all All-Star performances.
I feel like besides the NHL All-Star Game, he only does, like, exclusively cruises.
No, he does a shitload of, like, USO stuff.
The Chillin' the Most cruise?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the same port that we were at when we got back from our little...
Were they really?
That was quite the crowd.
Huh.
It was an EDM cruise right next to a Kid Rock cruise.
Nice. Yeah, cruises are for trash people. Sorry.
Just a bunch of, like, 50-year-olds and leather and tattoos.
And no,
really
I don't, no offense to cruise people, but they're for trash people.
Yeah, you're right.
I got an uncle and an aunt who they go to cruises all the time, and I've never understood it. Why you want to be trapped on a boat with a bunch of other humans? Fuck that.
There are better ways to spend a vacation.
There are.
We did have two dinners a night, though, Dylan.
Two entrees at
on
dinner.
Y'all's. Yeah. I don't think that's a typical cruise offering.
It was an all-you-can-eat type deal.
Uh-huh.
One other note on Kid Rock. Jeremy Roenick, former NHL player and now commentator, said, and I quote, "When I talk to people about you, I say, Kid Rock is the most talented musician, I think, ever on the planet."
It's high praise.
That is just flat out not true. That's just insane. To make that claim is absolutely ridiculous.
Man, hey. my signed Jeremy Roenick stick that's hanging above my childhood bedroom door is just appreciated in value so much right now.
Is that really a thing that you have?
I do have a Jeremy Roenick signed stick. I have a lot of like Philadelphia Flyers sports memorabilia.
Next time you're home for vacation or whatever, will you please give us like a crib-style tour of your childhood Philly trash room?
Yeah, I have a signed jersey of LeBron James with a picture of me and LeBron before he like slighted me.
Yeah, don't. Yeah,
that's in a case.
That really contradicts the whole like you hate LeBron because of what he did to you at that camp.
Want
to
throw away the jersey he signed like a day before? Too?
It's good to have.
He took a picture with you.
It's good to have a jersey like that because if you get into
well,
like
it was a group photo. It was my team.
If you get into like a really tough gambling situation where you're down like way too much to the bookie and you can't afford to pay him, you sell the LeBron jersey. You don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah,
and it's probably worth a lot now. Dylan's Las Vegas Knights are in first place in the West, 29-11-3 overall, 18-2-2 at home.
We're
They're
really
just crushing
it.
People at home.
We're really doing it.
You think there's another reason why teams aren't doing so well in Vegas?
There could be.
Nah.
Could be.
Nah.
Let's talk MMA.
Let's do it.
UFC 220 is on Saturday. There are two title fights, the heavyweight championship between Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou. Ngannou is a -170 favorite on mybookie.ag.
He's
and Stipe is
bad
plus,
dude.
+145. I'm not familiar with these people.
Stipe is a firefighter from Cleveland.
A firefighter, eh?
Yes.
Stipe?
Respect. Respect to the firefighter.
I'm going to take him +145 money line.
I'm going to take Frank Ngannou.
It would be a crime for me to pick one of these guys. I know nothing about what's going on
Neither
here.
Neither do I, but
I'm... You take the American.
Dude, roll with me and Frank.
Wait, Stipe is the American?
Well, he lives in...
Yes, yeah. Stipe was born in America.
Stipe Miocic is an American?
Yeah, he is a Cleveland firefighter. He still hasn't quit firefighting.
Then I'm all in on this guy.
He's an all-American hero.
He's the champ.
Stipe, the American firefighter.
Tell me a little bit about Francis Ngannou.
Francis Ngannou is a dangerous, dangerous man.
He will knock you the
fuck out. Oh, wait, I got him then.
Okay. He had one of the most violent knockouts I've ever seen in his last fight, and a lot of people are thinking the UFC is rooting for him because he is a potential superstar. Because
he's a bad boy.
Because he is a bad boy, and this is the fight to name the baddest man on the planet.
Okay, yeah, I'm going with Frank.
I got the guy who might kill the other guy.
I like Lang in these UFC fights. I really like Lang, the crazy juice. Like -170 is idiotic, but I love it. I'll do like up to -300.
Do a parlay of just all favorites.
Dude, they usually win the favorites in the UFC. With the heavy favorites anyway. It's pretty rare to get fucked there, but when you do get fucked, oh, you get fucked good and proper.
Where's this Ngannou fellow from?
That's a good question.
I'll Google it.
He is from Cameroon.
There you go.
He's 6'4", 250.
I'm currently looking at a photo of him, and I would say that betting against him in a fight of any kind seems unrealistic and insane. He's fucking gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to fuck with
He's
that guy.
He's a big dude.
I would not fight this guy.
And he knocked out Overeem.
Yeah,
is this the knockout?
Yeah.
This is the...
All right, Mike is playing a video of the violent knockout that he was just talking about.
Oh, sweet.
Granted, Overeem's not the same guy he used to be.
Look,
he is still a scary
dude. I don't like
himself.
To watch violent knockouts. I'll be honest with you. It makes me uncomfortable.
But these are just...
I don't want these guys
two
to
giant
die
men.
Or become like...
I don't know, man. I really enjoy watching a good exchange of punches. You
right
know?
Now, they're just hugging, basically.
all right, now they're dancing around the ring.
Oh, my God.
I love how in the UFC,
holy
they
shit.
Always get one little hammer
fist
into the face
or two
before
the ref comes
gets in.
That is what I hate about this sport, actually.
That guy was asleep.
That is why I can't watch this. When you knock someone out and the other guy, you get on top and just bounces his skull off the mat.
Take a look at the replay here. This is
again, what's crazy to me is that things like CTE have become such a big concern in the NFL, yet this dude's getting his head bounced. And nobody seems to give a fuck.
Oh,
like this is what they signed up for.
That punch alone just gave that guy CTE. One hit. Look at
that.
He's fucking out cold, son.
The
they're
hammer,
in the cage.
The hammer punch. Micah, that's not good,
dude,
man.
There's people.
I mean, I didn't throw it, Dylan. Don't fucking shame me.
No,
there's people in the background watching the fight in the front row doing the surrender cobra because they're so upset by the fucking punch. Oh,
that's
man.
What you're there for, though.
It is.
Like when you go to a fight,
that's the good stuff. But not voting against, not betting against Francis.
Yeah, I got
Ngannou.
That guy, though.
That's I'm going
to
go with him.
We actually got an MMA event coming to Austin in a month.
Oh, yeah. Our boy Super Sage is coming.
He is.
Dude, we got to go see Super Sage.
And Hell is coming with him. Right, Mike?
And Hell is coming with him. Hashtag Super Sage so he can see it.
So he can see it. We're going to go.
Are we really going to go?
That reminds me. That is one of the things that is the same weekend as Daytona.
Sorry, dude, but if I'm picking between Daytona and watching Super Sage fight, I'm picking Super Sage.
I'm all in on Super Sage. Mm-hmm.
We're ripping apples before the fight.
We're going to show up with a bushel of apples.
Just ripping apples while he's up there
yeah,
getting choked out because that's what he tends to do.
Right. He's not fantastic.
He's not great, no, but he is very good-looking, handsome man.
We need him on this podcast.
He's essentially like a 1998 Abercrombie model in a cage. That's what's happening.
He's the bad guy and never back down.
Yes. Yes. Okay. The light heavyweight championship is Daniel Cormier versus Volkan Ozdemir. The guy's name is Volkan?
That is tight.
Damn. But he is supposed to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, Cormier is
favored by a...
Cormier only loses to John Bones Jones.
Yeah.
Who will not be fighting anytime soon.
Who cheats his way to victory every single time.
And has a coke problem. Cormier is -313 on mybookie.ag. Ozdemir is +263.
You'd probably go Cormier here.
Anybody have any more? See, this is one of those ones where
I lay the
313 to win the 100. Why not?
Just because he might not win. That's why not.
Nah. Micah, any input on this fight?
Not really. Cormier, the wrestler. Volkan has a dope name.
Volkan.
I like Cormier. He's an engaging person. He's not known for having their super exciting fights.
Didn't he clean up his diet, though? He's in a little bit better
allegedly.
Shape.
Allegedly. I mean, yeah. But he's not a power puncher. He's a guy that will wrestle you to the ground and just beat the hell out of you.
You'll remember when he fought, was it Lesnar? Or no.
He hasn't fought Lesnar.
No, he didn't fight Lesnar. He fought Silva. On 2 weeks' notice
Silva.
Or whatever.
And he just took him down and whipped him.
A lot of people were complaining about that fight, just how boring it was.
Well, he's fighting against a guy who was named after a race from the show Star Trek, which is odd.
Hmm.
Vulcan.
You just throw a few
it's
bones
cool
his way,
anymore.
You think, just because of his name?
Just lost a lot of cool points for me.
No, I am not going to throw... No. I've seen Cormier fight, and yes, the fights are not necessarily... entertaining or exciting, but he's hard to beat.
Just ground and pound.
Yeah, he's hard to beat. What's the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix?
Bellator has this fucking crazy plan where they have 8 heavyweights and they're going to fight in a tournament starting this Saturday and going through the end of the year and then name their heavyweight champion. And include there are huge names in this. The first fight this week is Chael the American Gangster Sonnen versus Rampage Jackson.
Why did
two
you
guys
call
who
American
both washed
gangster.
Out of the UFC but are now like fighting for this belt?
Okay.
That's a snake.
Are you
a
big Chael Sonnen guy?
I am a big Chael
Sonnen. Please be clear.
Guy.
When you said huge names, you meant huge names 8 years ago.
Yeah, from 2006.
Okay.
Yeah. Rampage Jackson still fighting.
Dude, what is
this
he
time
doing?
Against
Chael? Does he not have money or something? What's he doing?
Probably not.
God damn.
Is fucking Ken Shamrock in this thing?
Yeah, what?
Shamrock is not. What's his name? The giant Russian guy who was supposed to be unbeatable, Fedor. A part of this as well.
Fedor.
But that happened Saturday, so that's interesting.
I want to see an event where it's like all the fights are in one night, tournament style. So
yeah,
you gotta beat like
the
four
end,
people
it's just
in
like
one
two
night.
Bloodied guys going at it. I will say this for the UFC. Probably the coolest names in all of sports. Like the ones we just read. Stipe Miocic, Francis Ngannou, Daniel Cormier, Volkan Ozdemir. Those are badass names. You don't get the consistency of weird names like that elsewhere.
Nate Diaz.
There's a lot in hockey. Nate Diaz isn't a great example. There's a lot of in hockey, too, I guess. Really, you just need a lot of non-Americans.
You just need Russians.
That's
the key.
That's the theme here that you're
that's
going
the
for.
Key. In boxing, Errol Spence. Errol's a terrible name. fights Lamont Peterson Saturday at Barclays.
That's why boxing's the dying sport.
There's a lot of reasons, and Errol is one of them.
Errol Spence is tight. We like him. He's from Texas. We're rooting for Errol.
Oh, sorry.
He's the champion.
Sorry about that. I went with the opposite take of the one.
Is he
that
a heavy hitter, Micah?
Yes.
I know nothing
he
about
him. He knocked out Kell Brooks in England in the last fight and in a fucking soccer stadium. 100,000 people there to watch him lose. Errol just whipped his ass and knocked him out.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm looking at Errol.
Errol
looks fucking badass.
He's the guy that literally knocked a man out of the ring?
Yeah, he's done that before, okay, too. He's a bad man.
Dude, I'm looking at photos of Errol.
Saturday is a 2-TV night of combat in the pool house.
For those who are wondering what that means,
Micah lives in a pool house. I have seen it.
Therefore, you can watch both fights with Micah at his pool house if you can figure out where it is.
Say what you want about Micah living in a pool house, and you can say quite a bit about it. He's got a tight situation going on over there.
I've seen pictures and Snapchats and such. And
he has a view on his back deck of downtown Austin and the lake in one frame, and it is tight.
It's an incredible view. It really is. I'm jelly of the view.
He used to live in the same building as me, directly below me almost, like in a cross.
Yeah.
And I would just go over for fights. I can't do that anymore.
Did you ever hear him making sex ever? No?
Yeah, did you guys ever engage in sex with each other?
Well, he would buy the fights, and then he would buy and make steak and just be a boys' night.
Damn, that's tight.
Damn. But you don't get to hang with Micah anymore.
Don't get to do that
anymore.
He
moved on. He's got his own pool now.
I want to be your neighbor, Micah.
Hey, I have a question. When it's summertime, are we going to be able to come over and like swim in this pool? Or what's
he's going to be moving, man.
Yeah, but we can still have pool parties.
Okay, cool.
Hey, you know you're invited to the Cut whenever you want for a pool party.
Yeah, but that's different. It's not the same as having your own private pool.
I mean,
pool
the last
over,
time
right,
we had
whole
people over,
city.
We all got in the hot tub. That was 4 men in a hot tub.
We played 4 men in a hot tub.
Four men in a hot tub is one of the great All-American games.
We played it, and we played it probably a little too long.
Oh.
We got nice and pruny.
Okay.
Didn't we, Micah?
All right, we've got a hotline. The number for the Backdoor Cover hotline is 800-392-6344. You can call us and ask questions, leave a rant, sing a song, tell anything, really.
Three calls today.
800-392-6344 is the hotline number. Every week on our Thursday podcast, we will play the best calls. We have three this week. Here's the first one.
Hey, this is Dunk from Willamette State, the Mississippi area, the place in between Alabama and Louisiana. My question is a sports question. Let's say you, Dylan Roth, and Dan have a lead pipe, and you got to fight a bunch of engorged nutria. How many can you take? What's your number? I want to know. Let us know.
What are we fighting?
If you would, when you call in the hotline, please don't take a bunch of sedatives right before. We can't understand what the fuck you're saying. We're going to fight what? Engorged? What are engorged nutria?
What is that?
We have a lead pipe, I believe. Did he say we had a lead pipe, Micah?
Yeah.
What are engorged nutria?
They're like giant rats.
I'm being told by producer Micah.
Is a giant rat called an engorged nutria?
Okay, I'm looking at them. They're giant. They're like giant beaver looking rats.
Yeah, they look pretty nice.
I don't think I need even need a lead pipe, man.
So do all three of us get a lead pipe?
I think you just like field
goal. I think the question is
them.
Individually, how many could you kill?
Okay, if that
pipe
is the question.
Well, they don't look mean.
I mean, until I become physically exhausted and die.
Yeah. It would be a matter of how many are coming at a time, I think.
It would be an absolute massacre.
Because if it's a line of them and they're having to come one by one, I'm killing every single living one of them until I pass out and die, like Dylan said.
I would just be spraying, what do they call
nutria.
It? Nutria brains all over the place. It would be a scene, man. It'd
be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
It'd be a bloodbath.
All right,
yeah.
Better question. How many zombie toddlers could you take?
Zombie toddlers?
Like a 5-year-old.
Okay,
five-year-olds are not toddlers.
Here's why the zombie questions don't work, because it depends what you have to pick the zombies. Like, there's Walking Dead zombies, which are slow for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
There's Day of the Dead zombies, which full sprint. There's different varieties of zombies.
Legend type zombies.
If I get a lead pipe, I can take unlimited until I just pass out from exhaustion and they eat me.
Not with zombies.
Dehydration.
Yeah.
dude,
they're slow as fuck and they're toddlers.
That's why. Oh, they're toddlers. They're They're toddlers. Yeah, same thing.
What's the age of a toddler? 2 to 4?
4, 5.
Yeah, 2 to 3 and a half, 2 to 4, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Two to three.
Hey, gentlemen of Backdoor Cover. This is Zach calling from the Midwest area. Let's say, you know, we get to our big three comes back, but it's only, you know, late 90s, early 2000s boy bands. Who are you taking to win the championship? Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, LFO, maybe O-Town out of nowhere? Which one of those classic boy bands do you think is going to bring home the banner? Peace.
What? What?
That's an oddly worded question.
Wait, so what is the concept?
Just the question is, 90s boy in the band. Event of the Big Three style basketball tournament.
Okay.
But the only competitors are 90s boy bands. Who wins?
I think without question it has to be NSYNC, right? I just feel most comfortable creating a three-man lineup with that crew.
What about Motown?
I feel like Backstreet Boys a little harder?
Nah, them dudes can't ball.
Oh, you think JT's going to...
Yes. I think JT is the wild card here. He's the one that actually would bring some skills to the court. Like, what, 98 degrees? That motherfucker can't fight. I mean, can't play ball.
Look, JT is a born entertainer. I get it. The guy's super talented all over the place. He can't ball, though.
He's got that small frame.
I'm just going to throw a name out there. Hanson.
Dan, come on, man.
Brothers might have that secret...
They have some type of like psychological connection.
They've played a lot together probably.
Well, there's always that video of they always play on Inside the NBA of Justin Timberlake blocking Kenny in the celebrity game. Yeah. So maybe he can play just a little bit.
I heard that the Hanson brothers run the triangle offense. Did you know that?
They're old school,
That makes sense,
Yeah.
They got Phil.
Give me Backstreet, man. What's Joy Fatone?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got in the post?
Well, I don't know. I'm sticking with NSYNC.
He's Backstreet, right?
I'm JT guy.
Yeah, he's Backstreet.
Joey Fatone.
I could be.
Let me Google. Joey Fatone.
He's got to be Backstreet.
No, he's an NSYNC guy.
Oh, fuck.
Sorry.
I got NSYNC because he in the post, you can't move that guy around.
What about Boyz II Men?
That doesn't count. It's not a boy band. That's a men. That's a men
it's
band.
A men's
Is that because they're black?
I mean.
No, I didn't say that.
Partially.
Kind of partially. You can't just throw a black group in with all the white guys.
Yeah,
obviously
I'd take them.
Yeah, that just changes everybody's vote. Straight to Boyz II Men.
Let's just be real.
Like, fuck, they would destroy everybody we're talking about. It wouldn't even be close or fun to watch at that point. So, no, we can't just throw Boyz II Men into the mix. We got one more call. Here it is.
Hey, guys. This is Kurt out of the Boston area. I was listening to Backdoor Cover today, and when you guys got to the tragic comedy that is Roy White in his current career in London, Canada, you guys expressed a real sorry lack of knowledge on America's hat. So I'll break it down real quick. Starting in the late 15th century, the French and British colonized and fought over huge chunks of land in North America in what is now known as Canada. The first legit colony was New France, owned by, you guessed it, France, and that was established in 1534. They ran the show for a while over there, cornering the beaver pelt market, which some historians are actually calling the Bitcoin of the 1600s. Fun fact. New France was then given to the UK in 1763 after the French had their butts kicked in the Seven Years' War, classic France. After that, a bunch of rebranding of the colonies happened over the next 100 years or so. And in, I think it was 1867, the province of Canada teamed up with two other British colonies, I think it was New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, and formed a self-governing body named Canada, what we know today, mostly because the Brits didn't want to play Big Brother anymore and wanted the Canucks to defend themselves against America, which might have been expanding north. Canada did slowly absorb the rest of the British colonies, finishing with Newfoundland and Labrador in 1949. And currently, Canada has 10 provinces, 3 territories as a parliamentary democracy, and a constitutional monarchy with Queen Elizabeth II as head of state, whatever that means. Thanks, guys, and happy to help keep you and your listeners just a little more up to date with our friendly neighbors of the North. Keep up the good work, and go Pats. See ya.
We get it, dude. You study history. I will say, if he spat it all off without having to read it, that's impressive knowledge.
Oh, give me a fucking... You know he didn't. You know he didn't. He Maybe. Read this shit. He read that shit off Wikipedia or something.
No, he's a history major.
He's a history nerd.
If that motherfucker had all that memorized,
he may have.
Come in here. You need to come in on the show because you're a genius.
I also will say we have Micah fact-checking you everything you said right now, and we will roast you if you're wrong about this.
He also didn't say where he was from. He could be from Canada.
He said he's from Boston.
No, he did.
I cannot believe we just got like...
He's in Boston.
His phone call was so long, it cut him off. We got a over 2-minute Canadian history call.
I will also say I stopped listening about 20 seconds in.
Yeah, I wasn't listening either. I just know what he was talking about.
Did you guys know that beaver pelt traders was the Bitcoin of the 1600s?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I didn't know that. That being said, I couldn't care less about the history of Canada.
Wonder how many guys were all in on beaver pelts back
look,
then.
Look, man, we got enough issues trying to learn our own country's history here. We need to focus on that before we move on to places like Canada.
I don't know. Canada doesn't get enough credit for being as awesome as it is.
I feel like it's gotten more credit as of late.
Beautiful. The women are incredible.
Are they?
Yeah.
We do. We get a lot of Canadian babes on TFM Girls, man. They do not hold back. Even with the cold, they still find a way.
To wear a bikini.
To show the titties, and you know? And whatnot. Not that I'm looking at anything like that or think about it.
Of course not.
No. No, no. Anyway, thank you for calling. Thank you for the history lesson. We are uncultured swine, and we needed that. I feel a little bit better about myself. It's always nice to learn something. I feel like our listeners learned something today. We had a good, productive podcast. We talked about sports, Canadian history, all good things. 800-392-6344 is our hotline number if you want to call in. I'm Ross. You can follow me on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram, at WRBolin. I would also greatly appreciate it if you would subscribe to the Ross Bolin podcast, brand new show on iTunes, same place you can find Backdoor Cover, where we talk about all kinds of random stuff, like stuff to Wikipedia when you're high. There's a segment called Classic Rap Albums that people like my friend Dylan, who's Native American, probably haven't heard.
That's me, for the record.
And that's you.
Yeah.
All kinds of other random shit. Me and Micah talk about pretty much whatever we want. That's the gist of it.
I think your last few episodes you're talking about like interracial rap groups.
Yeah, we talked about interracial rap groups.
No mention of Jedi mind tricks or cunnilingus.
No, I still have no idea who those people are as you name them right now. Wow. I really need to get
segment rap albums that his friend Ross, who's just a white dude, has never heard of.
Interracial rap groups that my friend Ross, who's just a white dude, has never heard of. I'm going to let Dan come in and do that segment. That's a good segment. Anyway, check out the Ross Bolin podcast. Dan, where can everybody follow you?
Dan _ Regester, Regester on Twitter, and just Dan Regester on Instagram and Snapchat. I also have a fitness and lifestyle podcast on Grandex Labs called Supsdog, which you can follow at SUPPSDAWG on Twitter and Instagram.
They just dropped a new episode of Supsdog yesterday. Very funny. Jake and Dan do a great job with the fitness and health stuff on Supsdog. Subscribe to Grandex Labs on iTunes to give that a listen. Support those guys and what they've got going on. Dylan, where can you be followed?
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at dshivery, CHEVERERE. And since y'all are plugging your shit, I might as well plug Touching Base.
Absolutely.
Which is a very fun podcast that I do with Dave and Will of PGP. And we pretty much just bullshit for an hour, and it's a lot of fun.
Check out Touching Base on iTunes. Subscribe to that as well. Support all the Grandex stuff, including manoutfitters.com, where, again, if you're listening early enough, up until Friday at noon, we're running a sale where you can take an extra 20% off all the on-sale collection stuff, some of which is up to 50% off already. So you get an extra 20% off with the code EXTRA20. And allegedly, you can stack Underboy on top of that to get 15% off any order of over 150 or more, including free shipping. The Underboy code stuff applies even if you are listening to the show too late and missed out on the sale that ends Friday at noon. But until Friday at noon, we're pretty much just giving away all the clothes. We're probably going to have to shut down the company.
That's what it sounds like, unfortunately.
I'm not really sure who came up with this strategy, but there's literally no way we're making money.
Nope.
It's not possible. Again, we'd love it if you would give us a 5-star rating and write a review for Backdoor Cover on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Backdoor Cover. We'll be back on Monday to talk about all the latest happenings from over the weekend in sports, all the latest in the NFL playoffs. We appreciate you guys listening. Thank you.
Go Birds.
We love you. Bye.
Go Birds.